The six-day Middle East war echoes along a second front, the diplomatic struggle at the United Nations Security Council. A series of emotionally charged meetings keeps delegates debating on nearly a round-the-clock basis. Syrian Ambassador George Tomei charges Israel with continued ceasefire violations, saying that Israeli tank forces advanced toward a branch of the Jordan River to establish control of a strategically important water resource. He calls it systematic invasion. Soviet delegate Nikolai Fedorenko heaps abuse and lashing invective on both Israel and the United States. In a blistering filibuster, Russia breaks diplomatic relations with Israel and threatens sanctions. Israeli Ambassador Gideon Raphael answers the truce violation charges, saying that his nation's troop and tank movements occurred before the ceasefire went into effect. Israeli government officers announce their victory wipes out previous armistice agreements and frontiers. And that victory is a swift, smashing, and total one, as crack air force, infantry, artillery, and tank corps combine to sweep across the Sinai Peninsula to the Suez Canal, east into Jordan, north into Syria. Thousands of prisoners are taken, while Jordan announces she lost 15,000 troops in the sudden and devastating campaign. Israeli spearheads race to the Gaza Strip, advance across the entire Sinai, taking Sharm el-Sheikh at the mouth of the Gulf of Aqaba, thus breaking the blockade. The old city of Jerusalem is captured, as well as Bethlehem, the west bank of the Jordan, and the drive into Syria stops just short of Damascus. Israel reports close to 700 of their troops killed, over 2,500 wounded. Egypt and Syria announce no casualty figures. Heavy air raids dealt the first stunning blow to UAR forces along the Gaza. A furious follow-up came from artillery, tanks, and foot soldiers. Thus, the main Egyptian force was cut off by the speedy armored columns. It's almost a repeat of the 1956 Israeli victory, but with a shorter timetable. The efficient, well-trained Israeli army completely demoralizes troops of the Palestine Liberation Army of Egypt. Egyptians had no support from the air. Their air force was crushed on the ground by low-flying Israeli jets, which swooped in from the Mediterranean, avoiding radar, destroying over 400 aircraft. The disastrous defeat prompts President Nasser's resignation, which is not accepted by his people. UAR commander General Munam Abdul Husseini meets with Israeli military leaders to surrender unconditionally, ending the fighting in the Gaza Strip. Nearly 600 Egyptian tanks were destroyed. While the Gaza campaign is ended, three other Israeli spearheads rush toward the Suez. Israel leaders call it the total destruction of Egypt's Sinai forces. An Egyptian military shakeup follows the crushing defeat. 11 senior commanders resign or retire. New leaders vow to restore the old boundaries. The battle for Bethlehem is brief, bloody, and decisive. Some 40 Jordanian defenders were killed, the remainder fled. Israeli troops moved in behind tanks, while care was exercised toward all religious shrines. The Church of the Nativity was untouched. Civilians soon joined Israeli troops in the street, and the town where the Prince of Peace was born quickly returned to normal. Without doubt, the most personally moving moment for Israeli troops was the capture of the old city of Jerusalem, the location of an ancient Jewish holy place revered by the Israelis. Fighting over, thousands of joyous civilians, students, and troops stream toward the Mandelbaum gates. It's the first time in 19 years that Jews have been allowed to visit and pray at the site of the ancient Temple of Solomon. Jordan had kept the old city barricaded since the declaration of Israeli independence. It was here that Israeli troops acted more like tourists than fighting men, obviously in awe of their surroundings. Sacred Wailing Wall, where Israeli Defense Minister General Moshe Dayan prays, pledging never to give up the old city. While Russia and other Iron Curtain countries label Israel's victory as aggression, insisting she pull back to original boundaries, Israeli Premier Eshkol, equally adamant, insists Israel alone will determine her future.